The Arurim, the list of curses that the Torah delineates for a particular 11 items, it makes it clear that it wasn't just that they were said cursed would be the person who violates this, that, or the other. It was also, and first, blessed is the person who will not violate this. There was half of Klal Yisrael standing on Har Grizim, half of Klal Yisrael standing on Har Eval. The Kohanim and the Levim, together with the Aron Kodesh down below, would face towards the half of the Jewish people that was standing on Mount Grizim and say the whole list with the blessed, and they would say, everybody would say Amen, and then they turned towards Har Eval, the mountain of Eval, and went over the whole list again with the cursed is the person who violates it, and everybody would say Amen. So the obvious question, of course, is why is it then that in the Torah itself, it's only written in the second form, in the curse form, and the blessing form is not written out? Why is that? Before I answer that question, I would like to go over a piece of Gemara in Moed Katan, Tesamon Aleph Amud Beis, page 9, side 1 and side 2. The Gemara says as following. There were two students, Rabbi Yonasan ben Asmai and Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim, who studied under Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, right, the famous Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai of the Zohar. They studied under him the whole topic of Nedarim. When they finished, it was evening time. How long they were by him, it doesn't say. Whether it was a month, 2 months, a year, 2 years, doesn't say. In any event, they took leave of him during the evening time. The next morning, they came back and they took leave of him again. Amar lahu, he said to them, V'lav yiftarisu mini be'orta, didn't you already take leave of me last night? Amar lahu, they said to him, Limad tanu rabbeinu, our teacher, you taught us. Talmid sheniftar me'rabbi belon ba'isa ha'ir. If a student took leave of his teacher, but he wound up spending the night in that city, he didn't actually get on his way until the next morning. Tzarech lipater mimenu pam acheres. He has to take leave again, another time. So Rabbi Shimon was very impressed by this. And the Gemara says that they quoted sources. We're going to skip that part. And after they left, Amar Leh Lebrei, Rabbi Shimon said to his son, Bnei Adam Halalu, these people, Anashim Shel Tzurahim, these are people of form. That's the literal translation of Tzura. What it means is that they have very well-developed midos, characteristics, character traits. Zil gabeyan delivarchucha. Go to them so that they should give you a blessing. It's interesting. Parenthetically, this is at least one source for the common practice of trying to secure blessings from great people, great Torah authorities. In any event, this Rabbi Shimon's son, over here it doesn't tell us his name. We know that Rabbi Shimon had a son named Rabbi Elazar, whether it was him or someone else, it doesn't say, at least over here in this Gemara. In any event, when he went to them, he saw them and he found them studying a certain, they were asking different verses, one on the other. But afterwards, they noticed him and they said, Amrulay, they said to my boy, Sacho, what do you want here? What are you doing here? How can we help you? Amrulay said to them, Da Amrulay Amba Zil Gabayel Dilarchucha. So he told them, my father told me that I should come to you to get a bracha, to get a blessing. Amrulay, they said to him, okay, here's the blessing. Yehei Rava, it should be the will, meaning of the Almighty, Desizra Velay Sechetzad, that you should sow, plant, and you should not harvest. Te Ayel, that you should bring in, Velay Tepuk, but you shouldn't bring out. Which apparently sounds like it means that you should have what to do business with, but you won't wind up bringing it out to the marketplace to do business, or it means that you'll have seeds to plant, but you won't mind up planting them. Tepuk v'lo ta'ayil, also you should bring out, but not bring in. In other words, again, similarly sounding as if you're going to plant things, but you won't harvest and you won't have anything to bring in. Licharuv beischa, your home should become destroyed and desolate. V'leisuv v'shpizcha, and your host's home should be well settled. Livaldo psarcha, your table should be a confusion, a mess, v'lotachzei shasa chadata, and you should not see a new year. Ki asa ligabe avua, when he came back to his father, amarle, he said to his father, Dad, lo mi baya dvaruchale birchon, not only did they not give me a blessing, avot tzu'ure tzu'uron, they caused me pain. In other words, they cursed me. They didn't bless me. Amalei may amulach. So he said to his son, what exactly did they say to you? Hachi v'hachi amuli. He told him exactly what they said. Amalei hanach kulu birchasaninu. So Rabbi Shimon answered his son, every single word that they told you is a blessing. Tizrav alei sechet, son. What does it mean that you should sow and you should not harvest? Toilid banim. You should have children, and they should not die. So the sowing is like having the children, and the not harvesting is that they shouldn't die. Ta'yel v'lay tepuk. What does it mean that you should bring in and not bring out? So I just have to give one word of background, which Rashi mentions, that in the time of the sages of the Mishnah and the Gemara, the common practice was that when a new couple got married, they would at least to begin with, live in the home of the husband's family. So ta'ayel v'lay tevuk, you should bring in and not bring out. Ta'ayel kalasa, you should bring in a daughters-in-law, meaning you should manage to find wives for your sons. V'lalimus banach delivkun, and your sons should not die such that you would have to send them back to their parents' house. Tevuk v'lay ta'ayel, you should bring out and not bring in. That means toilid banta, you will have daughters, v'lo yamusu guvrayu v'lehadu livasich, and you should manage to marry them off, and their husbands should not die such that they would have to come back to you. So you're bringing them out and not back in. Licharuv beisach v'lesu v'shpizach, perhaps this is the most original, your home should be desolate, and your host's home should be settled. Dahai alma ushpizach. This world, meaning our temporal life that we live here, now, in this world, before we die and go on to the next world, is called ushpizach. It's called your host's home. Vahi alma besa. The next world, the world of the souls, is called a house, your home. Dichsiv, as it says in the pasuk, kirbam batemo le'olam. So it says the word kirbam is their home forever. Atuki kirbam ala kivram, and the word kirbam could be read as kivram, their grave. In other words, the grave is referred to as the home because a person is there for a lot longer time, at least usually, than he was in his house that he lived in while he was living on this world. So that's why the grave is called your home. So it should be desolate, meaning you shouldn't die. You should live a long life. And your host, so meaning while you're living here, the house that you're living here should be well settled because you should live a long life. Livalbo pasairach, what does it mean that your table should become a mess of confusion? Bibane ubanto, with lots of sons and daughters. Everybody who's had small children knows that, you know, when you have small children around, it makes a confusing mess. Which, parenthetically, it's important to be aware of that and not to expect in a fantasy type of way that somehow, you know, you could have everything just run like a perfect ship. It doesn't go like that. You know, small children, they make a mess and they scream and they shout and they fight, etc. And that's part of life. And if you try to stop that and make it like you're running a Navy ship, it could cause problems. Okay, but that's parenthetical. What does it mean that you should not see a new year? You should never have to do Shana Rishona again. What's Shana Rishona? It's the first year when a new couple gets married. Your wife that you have now should not die such that you would have to marry a new woman and have a new Shana Rishona. Brilliant. Incredible. Now, there is a Gemara elsewhere. Right now, I can't remember exactly where it is. That talks about the concept of Lashon Chachma, a very wise way of speaking. It's almost like you're speaking in riddles. So what happened over here in this story? They told him this blessing, Rabbi Shimon's son, they told him this blessing in kind of a code form, if you will. And Rabbi Shimon's son did not know how to decipher the code, so to him, it sounded like a curse. He went to his father. His father was able to decipher the code and demonstrated for him and showed him how it really is a blessing. So with that, I would like to suggest that that is the basic concept that the Torah is trying to convey in explicating the curses and not the blessings. Because the way Hashem set us up in this world is that blessing is not necessarily something which is immediately apparent. You have to work on it. You have to learn to develop and cultivate within yourself a sense of perspective from which you're able to see the blessing that you have. Because a person who expects that blessing has to be superficial, it has to hit you in the face, so to speak, will more likely than not wind up seeing most things in a negative light, because that which he does have, he'll almost certainly take for granted, and he'll only notice, focus on, and zoom in on that which he doesn't have, and he's going to be stuck in a world of curse, God forbid, because that's his perspective, that's what he sees. So that's why the Torah keeps the blessings hidden, so to speak. You have to look for them. You have to dig beneath the surface in order to find them. Because when you do that, that's really the key to having a life which is totally blessing. Because when a person cultivates that sense of looking beyond the surface, trying to understand the depth of it, then what may have seemed at first to be negative, to be something bad, to be something that I'd like to avoid, really just may emerge as a blessing which you could almost not do without, or perhaps really not do without. So the Arur is explicit, it's on the surface, you could see it, it hits you in the face, but the Baruch, the blessing, you have to dig under the surface, you have to look for it. It's part of what we're here in this world to do. We're here to cultivate a sense of getting past the superficialities of life so that we understand and appreciate and cherish what really and truly is and are the blessings of life. Have a good Shabbos.